Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Amen. You may say, well, I'm stuck on the book of Joshua. Today I am. Heard one fellow, he was so deep in the Word, he was stuck. Amen. Joshua, chapter 6. And if we've been going through the book of Joshua, God has chosen Joshua to take Moses' place and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and to lead in the fight of all of their battles. Now, you talk. At this time, though, Joshua's an old man by now. Please don't get offended at that. He was only about 80. So, amen. But Joshua, you know, he was powerful. He had been instructed by God to lead the Israelites. In the first chapter, we know that God told him, said, I've put you in the place of Moses, and you're going to do good, and the word of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And God told him how to operate and how to lead the children of Israel. So they come to their first encounter and the first battle here in Jericho. So let's notice chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. The seven priests shall bear the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord of the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, and while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once, and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it was so, when the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed to destruction, or doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messenger of the Lord. And by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed, and you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people, when the priest blew the trumpets, it happened that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. The people went in up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, go to the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. So Joshua spared Rahab the harlot and her household and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messenger of the Lord whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word this day, and I pray that you'd open our understanding to the truth of Scripture, and I pray, God, we'd be able to apply the Scripture today to our personal lives, and I know, God, your Holy Spirit can speak to each of us. We ask for your divine direction in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to talk about this morning about advancing in the promised land. As we look at Scripture today, Canaan's land, the promised land, is not a type of heaven as some people make it, but it's a type of salvation. Because in heaven there will be no battles, there will be no devil, there will be no wars, there will be no sin, there will be nothing to fight in heaven. But while we're here walking through this Canaan's land, we have God the Holy Spirit with us, we have the power of God with us, but there are enemies to be destroyed, there are things we have to get out of the way so we can live for God and walk with God. Amen. And so, if you've got the idea, I don't think you do, but if you've got the idea that everything just goes well with Christians and they never have a problem, it's not true. It may have been taught by some, but people that taught that are probably backslid. But there are things that happen to Christian people as they try to walk and live for God, and there are things that we come up against, and that's not a time to say, God, I didn't know it was going to be this way. It's a time to go forward, to advance in the promised land. God has never called us to stop. God has never given us any reason to quit. We're to go forward with God. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, friend, when we got saved, we put our hand to the plow, and there's no looking back till we reach heaven. Amen. The Bible does say that there's a broad path that leads to destruction. It may be more tempting, but there's a straight and narrow way that leads to life everlasting, and we want to stay on the straight and narrow. Glory to God. All right. And so Israel would have to learn to live a life of faith. They would have to trust God above what they saw. Because they saw walled cities, they saw giants, they saw things that were impossible to take care to come against in a military manner. And so Israel was not all, they were not all trained soldiers. Yes, they'd had some wars even before they crossed the Jordan. But they didn't have a lot of training. Amen. But one thing good for them, they did have a commander-in-chief. And we studied about that last week. And Israel had crossed Jordan by a miracle. All the Israelites had crossed by on dry ground, just like they did over the Red Sea. And when they crossed over Jordan, the manna stopped falling from heaven. They had eaten manna from heaven for 40 years. They drank water out of a rock that God provided. They had been provided meat and bread for 40 years. And now that provision stopped because they had entered a land of milk and honey where there was plenty. And here they would face enemies, and this particular time their first conquest would be Jericho. And God stood as commander-in-chief of the spiritual armies that would grant Israel victory as they operated in faith and obedience. And they had to do that. They had to operate in faith and they had to operate in obedience. They didn't have to wonder, well, I'm just going to try to believe in this and see if it'll happen. No, God had promised them and reiterated that, his promise to them for 40 years. You're going to go over there, you're going to conquer the land, you're going to take the territory. If you'll be obedient, if you'll follow me. And as they followed God, they came to Jericho. And as believers, we can operate in victory and victorious living as long as we live in obedience to God's word daily. There's not such a thing as a Christian life as one without obedience. You've got to obey God. You've got to walk with God. If God says don't do this, then you don't do that. If God says don't go here, then you don't go there. If God says you be faithful, get up and do what you're supposed to do, then God will be with you. God will protect you. God will be there for you every day. It's not that God makes it so hard. I want to tell you something, friend. It's harder to live for the devil and live for self and sin than it is to live for God, because you don't have to reap the consequences of sin if you don't live for the sinful things. Amen. But if you walk with God, He will walk with you. Amen. And we are the ones following, not Him. We follow Him. Praise God. He'll lead us to good things. He'll lead us to victory. So there will be some battles in our life. The enemy of your soul is at work. He doesn't want to give up territory easily. That's why it's a fight. But God is for the believer to overcome and be victorious. You know what's God's will for you to be an overcomer? What promise did Jesus make to the seven churches in the second, third chapters of Revelations? To him who overcomes, to him who overcomes seven times. Amen. And God's will is for you to be an overcomer. God does not want you to be trampled down. God doesn't want you to barely make it. God wants you to be victorious. God wants you to be an overcomer. Amen. God wants you to walk by faith and live by faith, and the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And so we see here that the first thing that God gave them was His Word. There's not many people that you can just trust their Word. There are some. But you can always trust God's. In verses 1 and 2, let's look at this. The Word of the Lord. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. I mean, they were isolated in this place. They had great walls around them. There was not really the possibility in the natural sense of anybody causing the walls to fall down. They were wide enough for chariots and horses to ride on the top. Amen. And so they didn't have any idea that those walls are just going to come crumbling down someday. So they looked secure and felt secure. The people of Jericho did. But they had some fear in them because they had heard what God did to the Egyptians and to the people of the other lands as they had come on to Sihon, king of the Amorites, and to Og, a guy you probably don't want to be named after, but he was a giant. He had a bed that was 19 foot long and 4 foot wide. He was a whopper. Anyway, God granted Israel power to defeat them, and these stories had gotten around. They didn't have CNN because they probably wouldn't have got the truth, but they had Fox. They didn't have Fox News either, but anyway, they didn't have anybody. I can't go there, okay? But anyway, it had gotten out, and word had gotten out that, hey, these people need to be, you need to don't take them lightly. God works for these people. That news and that message has gotten to Jericho. They were faint-hearted because of the children of Israel. Anyway. And so here, there is great unrest there, and the people couldn't have rest in Jericho. The only people that had peace or rest in Jericho was Rahab and her family. Because they had hid the messengers of the Lord, and they had believed in the God of Israel, and they, by faith, had said, you know, that we want to be with this God of Israel. I don't know exactly what word she said to repent, but it's obvious that she accepted the God of Israel. As a matter of fact, it would go on to where she would be in the messianic line of Jesus Christ. And so there was a definite work in Rahab's. The only people that had peace in Jericho was Rahab and her family. They were all huddled together in one house. Amen. And I've heard it said before, there's not room for two families in one house, but there was in this one. Because if they weren't under the scarlet cord hanging out the window, then they would be judged along with the rest of the Jericho people. And so this was the only peace there was inside Jericho. But we look at our world today, and there is unrest in our world today. Too many things could happen, and we foolishly spend time worrying about what might happen. You know, if it does happen, it happens. But you're worrying about it didn't really do it any good. But too many things could happen. Mad men with nuclear weapon power, unstable governments, people mocking God, Jesus, the Holy Bible, and the Holy Spirit. And that's a fearful thing, that people would mock the God who created them. But we live in a world that is quickly headed downhill to the road to judgment. I believe that. And you say, well, preachers say that all the time to scare people. No. If the truth scares you, then it's the truth. Amen. Accept the truth what it is. The world is in for judgment, but I believe that God is going to take care of his people. Amen. And we can have peace in our hearts, like Rahab's family, the only people that had peace. In a troubled world where there is unrest, you and I can have peace knowing that God is in control. Amen. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. Amen. And so God gives us this great peace. Paul, in his day, you know, in and out of prison, not because of crimes that he committed, but because of preaching the gospel of Christ, he said, for this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I want you to know, Paul, the devil was never at ease when Paul was awake. Because wherever he was, the moment he opened his eyes, he was preaching the gospel. He is trying to win somebody to Jesus. He is trying to tell people the straight and narrow way that leads to life. He is trying to tell them you don't want to go to a devil's hell. You want to receive Christ as your Savior. Wherever, whenever he was awake, he was preaching the gospel. Whether in prison, out of prison, or on the road, or wherever he was. And so he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So Joshua here had the word of the Lord. Verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, if you act real good today, I might give you this city. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and all the mighty men of valor. And so that was God's promise, God's word that Joshua must trust in, must believe. God said, I have given. Amen. And God did give. And God does give. And all the spiritual things that we have today are things that God has given us. God has given the church, people that have accepted Christ. God has given us the gift of eternal life. God has given us pardon for sin. God has given us a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has, by His grace, has given us His Holy Spirit. God has given us divine protection now and forever. Serve a God who takes care of His people. Hallelujah. I'm amazed at what I read in Scripture. After I've been reading it for many years, I'm still amazed. It's not a man book, it's a God book. It's an inspired, infallible word of God. And God gives promises right here in the book of Psalms, chapter 49, verse 6. It says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Without redemption and God's work, there's nothing. But God has promised to take care of his people, and if we're living under the blood of Christ, the covering of God's precious blood, then yes, our redemption is costly. It cost God his greatest treasure, his only begotten Son. And God spared nothing of heaven and all that it had to save you and I. Thank God that he didn't leave out one thing. In Jesus, New Testament, on his way to Calvary, he stopped not one step short of Calvary's rugged hill and rugged tree, that he might pour out his soul into death and take the death penalty for my sin and yours and complete redemption's plan. I tell you, we've got God's word on it. Hallelujah. But God's instructions here to Joshua. Verse 3, God tells them exactly how he wants them to do this. I want you to march around the city, men of war, 6 days, once a day, 7 days. Amen. I want the trumpets to blow the ram's horns. And I don't know if you've ever heard of ram's horns before, but it's not a melodious sound. Whoa! That one's better. Praise God. But God commands them to obey in the order for there to be victory. And today, the New Testament church, we're commanded to live in obedience to God. Spiritual battles can only be won as we have a consistent life of faith. You're going to say, can't say, I'm going to live for God today if He does this for me or the other, or if God comes through for me, or if He doesn't disappoint me, or something doesn't happen that I wanted Him to do, or He didn't answer the prayer the way I thought He ought to. If you live like that, you'll never live for God. But if you live by faith of what Christ has done on the cross, that He loves you, that He cares for you, if you'll walk in obedience to Him, God will make a way for you. And He is the way. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, and the Bible also says we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, we just want to see everything happen the way we have it in our mind planned. Jericho as a city looked big, it looked strong, it had huge high walls, thick walls. It looked impossible with a human eye to overcome such a city. But day by day, for 7 days, these people marched on. They didn't stop and say on the third day, said, I'm tired. Or the fourth day, God, are you really sure about this? No, they marched around the city continually. Each day, 7 days. You say, well, I'm getting tired. But you know, the seventh day, they had to march around it 7 times. And it was probably bigger than Quitman. And so they obeyed God's order. And God's order cannot be overlooked here at the number 7. You see the number 7 in Scripture? This is maybe teaching a little bit instead of preaching. The Bible 7, in the Bible, the word 7 or the number 7 is a number of completion. And we see here in our story here, we have 7 priests and 7 trumpets, 7 days, 7 trips around the city. And we look throughout the Bible, we have 7 days of creation. And in the book of Revelation, we have 7 churches. And then in tribulation, we have 7 years of tribulation. And in the tribulation period, we have 7 sealed judgments. We have 7 trumpet judgments. We have 7 bowl judgments. And God would cause Israel to complete 7 times, would complete their victory in Canaan's land. And their inheritance was guaranteed. That's wonderful. God said, I've given you this land, and I'm going to show it to you right now. I'm going to show by defeating the city. I'm going to show you that your inheritance is guaranteed. And I'm thankful, friend, that our inheritance is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has given us His inheritance, and it's sealed with the Holy Spirit of redemption. Praise the Lord. And so God has given us an inheritance as we walk through this Canaan's land of faith that we live in today. Praise the Lord. But our inheritance is also guaranteed as we walk in the light. Now, if we turn away from God and begin to walk after self, the flesh, the world, and the devil, then you don't have the guarantee of eternal life or an inheritance. But if we live with God and have a walk of faith with God, we have a guarantee. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're walking in the light, the blood is continually there to wash you and to make you clean. If you're living for God, walking in the light, I want to tell you, God sees the sacrifice of His Son upon you, and He said, that belongs to me. My Son died, poured out His soul into death. For that soul, he can walk before me. He can walk in faith, knowing that he has an inheritance in heaven. Philippians 1:6, if you're looking for security, and there is a security if you're walking by faith. Amen. If you're living for God and you're continued on the journey, we can be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in us will see it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, memorize it. It'll help you when you're having trouble. Praise God. And so we see they had God's word on it. God says, I want you to march around this city and I'm going to give it to you. And then they had to have a walk of obedience. Verses 6 through 14, which I won't read all again, but Joshua the son of Nun, that's what the guy that read the Bible to me on the CDs called it, Nun. I thought he was the first Catholic at first, son of Nun, but anyway, Anyway, Joshua called the priest and said, take up the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. What would go first before this army? This was not just a blind jump into the fire here and a battle and said, we're going to go up there and defeat these people. No, they were led by the presence of the Almighty. The Ark of the Covenant was there. They had the Ten Commandments in it. And so they began to walk in faith. And the Ark of the Covenant led them. That's what the Ark of the Covenant would lead them across the Jordan River. Now it would continue to lead them in their battles. My friend, we dare not face this world, the battles we have, without God with us. Praise the Lord. We walk in the light. If we have Him and we're walking with Him, He's going to be with us. Amen. And so they would be led by God's presence, symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. It would be carried by the priest, testifying that this was a spiritual journey. It took God. And I can tell you through this life, it takes God to help you live for Him. Amen. I don't care what trials may come along. You're not complete and you can't make it without God. You might not make it, but you won't make it very good and you won't make it very far. But if you'll walk with God, if you'll live for Him, cast all of your care upon Him, know that the God that loves you and laid down His life for you walks with you. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that you turn around or that you backslide or go wrong. He's willing that you walk with Him. It's His plan and purpose that you end up in heaven with Him for eternity. He sacrificed His own Son because He wanted you to spend eternity with Him. Praise the Lord. Okay, so they would have to have a walk of obedience here. They would have to follow God. They did. They followed the Ark of the Covenant. Seven times they surrounded the city or circled the city. 7 days. Seventh day they went around it seven times. And they would remain silent here until Joshua told them to shout. Man, I don't know if they're Pentecostal or not, but anyway, they didn't shout at first. I don't have time to go off on a rabbit trail here, but I could say some things, but I won't. But shout. Okay, God's command was to abstain from the accursed things as well. When they went into Jericho, they would find all kinds of gold and silver things and all kinds of clothing, which was scarce in those days. And they didn't have Walmart. They didn't have whatever places you buy the material at. But they wanted all of this stuff. But God says, this first trip here in Jericho, you don't take of the accursed things. God says, whatever's here, the silver and gold is mine. Let's look at verse 18. And by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, because you saw many of these garments and things they wore had pictures and symbols of other gods on them. God said, you don't need to go in there with a picture of other gods. You don't need to take those things as your possession. Keep yourself from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. And when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Notice verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord and shall come into the treasury of the Lord. You know what God was teaching these people to do? He was teaching them to pay their tithes first. Well, I don't see it that way, brother. Well, I do. God did. He said, I want the first of whatever you got here. Whatever you come by, it belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so they did this. They didn't partake of the accursed thing. One man did, but we'll get to him later. Another sermon. This was the Lord's tithe, and as they walked in obedience, God blessed them. And the believer's walk of obedience by the Holy Spirit, the believer can march on for God. Amen. As we follow His commandments. Amen. Daily partaking of the bread of life, which is Christ. Amen. And so we can partake of the bread of life, the Word of God. And when God says something, we need to listen to what He said. Jeremiah was so thrilled with the Word of God. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was a joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. So whatever God had to say, Jeremiah was interested. And we should be interested in what God has to say. And so by faith we can partake of Christ, who is the bread of life, the Word of God. And walk in obedience. That means to live His or her faith openly, daily. And Jesus even said a thing or two about daily things. In the book of Luke chapter 9, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. No, that's hard. Let him take up his cross. That's hard sometimes. Jesus says, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Let's walk with God. Let's live for God. It's not worth it to flirt with the devil or flirt with sin. You got everything to lose if you go back, but if you continue to walk with God, you've got nothing but everything to gain. You got eternal life ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Let's notice last of all the shout of victory. Verses 15 through 21, we find that they finally went around the city enough times. Finally, we find here in verse 20, and the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything that's there. I want to tell you, this was God's judgment upon this land, upon the Canaanites. You say, God's cruel here by killing everything. No, he wasn't cruel. This judgment of God had come. Sin had evolved to the place or risen to the place where God had to judge it. And the world is headed in the same direction. There will come a day when God will judge the world in righteousness by that one who's raised from the dead. That'd be Jesus Christ. Amen. And so judgment is coming. Judgment came upon Jericho here, and the people completely took it. They took everything. They destroyed it. They burned it with fire. And when it was all said and done, the only people that survived were Rahab the harlot and people in her house, because they were covered by the scarlet thread out the window, which, if you want to bring it to New Testament, symbolizes the blood of Christ that protects us from judgment. Hallelujah. So the people shouted with a great shout, and God gave Jericho into their hands. And it was a shout of power. Amen. Let me bring this to a conclusion at 12:30. The last words of Jesus on the cross was a shout of victory. When he said the words on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." It was not finally, I have to quit suffering. No, those words, "It is finished," was Jesus saying, he was shouting and saying, the plan of redemption has been completed. And now everyone who believes in the blood that I shed can be redeemed from sin. Amen. Can be victorious. Can have eternal life. Can have their sins atoned for and pardoned for. And the blood, my blood, can make them clean and pure and holy. Amen. It says in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Having fulfilled every command of the Father, Jesus poured out his soul, laid down his life for us. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life and have the authority to take it again, which he did. And he fulfilled every prophecy of Scripture. Jesus died voluntarily. He laid down his life. He gave up his spirit. This was not a cry of exhaustion, but of completion. Jesus had done what he had agreed to do. The plan of redemption was now complete. Now whosoever could be saved. Now there was hope for lost humanity. The price had been paid. Eternal hope, love, and life had been provided for. Death had been defeated. People could now live in hope instead of fear and dread. Thank God, it is finished. Praise the Lord. Let's go forward with God in the promised land. Praise the Lord.